the calm before the storm. Or actually, it's kind of the reverse. The storm before the calm. The anxiousness before the release of tension. We're 5 days away from Election Day. 5 days from replacing the worst president, certainly in my lifetime and probably in many of yours. If you're not old enough to live under Herbert Hoover, I think it's fair to say he is your worst president. In some ways, he's worse than Hoover. I mean, Hoover at least respected the Constitution. Of replacing this frat boy, this ne'er-do-well, this person who wanted to be president because he wanted to be president, with a man who, for all his imperfections, and no politician is perfect, truly comes from the grassroots. One of us is about to become president of the United States. One of us. A guy like you and me. Someone who cares about the future of the country and doesn't want to be there just to hear hail to the chief. A man who worked as a community organizer in America's poorest neighborhoods. My God, those people never get elected president. They never get elected dog catcher. Someone who didn't just care about the middle class, and that's how he's focusing his campaign, and he should. He should. That's the majority of voters in America. But the dirt poor, the homeless, think who a community organizer works with. Difficult people, as those who are dirt poor, and often some of them are mentally ill, some of them are in need of attention because of addiction to drugs, some of them have committed crimes. Some of them are just down on their luck. And this is a man who is willing to get his hands dirty right out of college and work with them. He is a true believer. Now, you know people like that. I know people like that. I'm on a network filled with people like that. The person who owns this network, Bob Kincaid, and his family sacrifice incredibly, incredibly. You really don't know a tenth of it. To keep this network on the air. I myself, while my sacrifice is nowhere near the Kincaids, have given up a lucrative law career. I mean, I used to make a decent sum of money as a trial lawyer to come to Washington to work as a lawyer in Washington, making much, 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 much less. And then to make even less than that to talk to you on the radio because I felt I could make a difference. That's why Bob Kincaid does what he does. That's why Guy James does what he does. That's why John Fox and Peter Godbolden, all of them, do what they do. And now we have the chance, amazingly, to elect as President of the United States one of us. A guy who actually looks around and cares about his fellow man and woman. A person who is beyond divisions of class and race and wealth and to some extent, even political party. I wasn't around when Jack Kennedy became president of the United States, but my mom has told me how excited she was. He was the first person that she could ever vote for, and she worked in his campaign when she was 18 or so. But this is even a greater transformation. Colin Powell used the word transformative candidate. This is an incredible transformation. It's easy when you talk about a campaign to go into all the inane details, some of which are funny, most of which are funny. It's very easy to pick on Sarah Palin, and I have. It's richly deserved. It's very easy to talk about all the details, all the nastiness. And, you know, it's kind of fun to talk about the Republican Party tearing itself apart. But not this show. this may be the last show that I speak to you prior to the election. I don't know. I may. I'll play for you tomorrow some of my recent week on Leslie Marshall's show. I hope you'll stick around for that. It's stuff that you haven't heard here on the Horn, but it's I think some really good radio. I tangle with a few more right wingers and other things. So I may not get to talk to you before you vote. Many of you have already voted. I don't doubt who you're voting for. That's not what this is about. This is about me talking very directly to each and every one of you. How much I appreciate what we do together. And how excited I am that we are going to finally get a chance to put this country back together. You know, I first got involved in politics only after a loss. I mean, I was in college and all, in law school in the 80s and the early 90s. Bill Clinton came to power and things were going pretty well for a time. I was actually very excited about that. And then came the Republican Revolution of 1994. Newt Gingrich came to power and all that hatefulness and nastiness that, frankly, we're seeing the dying embers of this election season. And I remember being very upset and frankly surprised. I didn't really think the Democrats would be whisked out of power. I guess I didn't really think it would happen. Oh, they might lose a few seats. But the House of Representatives? No. Democrats occasionally lose the Senate. They never lose the House. I had gotten complacent. And Newt Gingrich took over. And the hate and the ignorance and the fear and the religious intolerance that has become a mainstay of the Republican Party, you got to understand, it really, we didn't know it was going to happen. I mean, in 92, you heard that from Pat Buchanan, but you kind of, you know, laughed a little and shuddered a bit. We didn't think they'd take over, pitchforks in hand, start stabbing everything we believe in. And I was complaining to a friend of mine. Here I was, a trial lawyer in California, making a decent sum of money, complaining about the Republicans in Congress ruining everything. And my friend handed me my head. He said, Mark, there you go, complaining, but what have you done? What have you done? Did you work in any campaign in 1994? I said, no. Did you do anything to stop them from getting elected? No. You went around and you practiced law and you made some money as a trial lawyer and you did very well for yourself. And what have you done for your country? In essence, he was telling me what John Kennedy said 50 years ago. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I had done nothing for my country, really. Oh, in law school, I had worked as a Nazi hunter, and that was satisfying for a summer. And I had worked in an inner city school for a few months, and I had helped some people not get kicked out of their homes. You know, I'd given to charity and been on the board of my synagogue. I mean, I'd done little things, of course. Most Americans do. But he was right. And I resolved then and there never to be apolitical again. In 1996, actually before 1996, already in 1995, I had become active in the California Democratic Party. I was even elected to the State Central Committee, which sounds really impressive until you realize that, you know, there was, I think, six slots and eight of us running, so, you know. But it was cool. That was my only elected position, actually. I think that was in 96. But I started in 96 getting out the vote, making phone calls, working to make sure that Barbara Boxer, a woman who I still have tremendous love and respect for, stayed as the California senator. It was tough in those years. You know, she was the more liberal one, only I liked her much better than Dianne Feinstein. I remember every time I voted in California, I would close my eyes and tolerate a vote for Feinstein and enjoy voting for Barbara Boxer. And she had a very close race that year. And I worked the phones day in, day out, canvassed some neighborhoods. And then on election day, I did something else, something that later on people would say is something very important. But at that time, people hardly thought about, and that is I made sure people could vote. I remember going to a gated community. Get this. It's a gated community. And it was a polling place. And there were people having trouble getting in the gates. It's almost hard to imagine. And I made sure that gate was open. Told the gated community, you can't have a polling place here and have to have people begging to get in the gates. I also made sure that day, and I remember it, 1996, my first day working to help people vote, someone showing up, and she didn't have ID on her. It was an elderly lady. I don't even know if she had a driver's license. But she insisted she was registered to vote, and you don't need an ID in California, and I knew that. And well, they wouldn't let her vote. And I saw what happened, and I talked to her, and I went up with her, and we talked to the registrar, and we talked to the, wasn't the registrar, it was the, you know, the local polling official, citizens who were trying hard, didn't know all the rules, and we talked to the boss, and lo and behold, I got that woman to vote. You know, I don't know if you know the joy of helping a fellow citizen vote. Ever since 96, I am proud to say that I have never worked an election day. Oh, I've called into radio. I may do that on election day today, but I'll do it from the polls. 96, 98, 2000, you name it. Virginia has elections every odd year. I'm there. I'm at the polling place. I'm making sure voters can vote. Let me tell you something. When you sit out there and you watch, 99% of people that leave a voting place are happy people. They feel like I do. I have done my civic duty. They wear the I voted sticker. They're smiling. No matter what political party they have, they're glad they voted. They've done their duty. And 1 in 100 comes out sad and angry, frustrated. And that's the person I go to talk to. And 9 times out of 10, I get that person to vote. Maybe they moved. Maybe they're in the wrong precinct. I'll drive them to their old precinct if they want. Maybe they don't have the right form of ID. Maybe the registrar's made a mistake. Maybe they misplaced the Social Security number. Who knows? I can't tell you how good it makes me feel to get the thank yous of a person whose vote I saved. And I don't want you to think I'm some, you know, oh, yes, thousands of votes were saved by Mark Levine. No, it's like 4 or 5 each year. 1 year, I think I saved 8. I think the minimum I saved is 2. Doesn't matter. If I and every citizen does this, we have hundreds of thousands. And they tend to be Democrats that are turned away at the polls. Not that I wouldn't help a Republican voter. I have. The right to vote is too important. But I determined in 96 that I was not going to be apolitical again, and I worked in 96. I actually just got started in 96. I didn't really know what I was doing in 96. By 98, I worked very hard, and you may remember we did well that year, despite impeachment. Impeachment made me very angry. So angry, in fact, that I applied to a certain congressman by the name of Barney Frank, who I had been seeing giving the Republicans hell in the impeachment hearings, and asked him if he needed a lawyer in Washington. And then came 2000. 2000. A year that will be forever known in infamy. To me, the crime of December 12th, 2000, is far greater than the crime of September 11th, 2001. September 11th, 2001, a madman and his bunch of terrorists murdered 3,000 innocent Americans. on December 12, 2000. Four men and one woman decided to destroy American democracy. And they had far more impact on this country and the world than Osama bin Laden. They formed a coup d'etat, the only one in American history. And they overthrew our government. And that, for me, was the final straw. Many of you know I threw away my legal career then and there. I threw away my high income. I came to Washington determined to make a difference. And I don't know that I've succeeded, but I've tried. God knows I've tried. And that was just a prelude. December 12, 2000 was, I thought, the darkest day. That was just the prelude. This presidency of Bush Jr. was beyond my wildest nightmares, and I thought it would be terrible. I thought it would be awful. I never conceived how awful it would be. Fighting countries that never attacked us. Thousands of Americans dead for no reason. Tens of thousands of Americans wounded for no reason. And hundreds of thousands, nay, possibly millions, of civilians around the world dead for no reason. Trillions of dollars thrown out the window. Our Constitution shredded. Torture being talked about like it was so much, torture. Should we torture someone? Should we do education? Should we do torture? Maybe, let's see, foreign affairs, environment, torture. It just run of the mill, as if it were just a word. Kafkaesque secret prisons hiding people from the Red Cross, like the Nazis did, putting people in jail without trial. American citizens spying on all of us. I'm sorry, George Orwell, you just didn't get it all in 1984. You just couldn't have foreseen this. Hundreds of millions of Americans. And of course, you can't get hundreds of millions of warrants, so they just threw that Fourth Amendment out the window. The worst national debt ever. Big time. Not small time. Big time. Clinton, it's not just that Clinton had surpluses and Bush had deficits. It's taking $4 trillion in debt. A debt so small that good old Alan Greenspan said, we're going to pay it all off. I am just so worried. If we don't cut taxes for the wealthy, we're going to pay it all off. And then where will we put the money? He actually said that. Now it's $10 trillion and worse. Owned by countries that I don't trust. China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, all these countries with oil, Venezuela. All of our eggs in one basket in Iraq, and that basket is sinking. So North Korea gets its nukes. Who would have thunk it? Bill Clinton was tougher on North Korea than George Bush because Bill Clinton negotiated with them and had inspectors and cameras. And now, because Bush wasn't watching, because we all our troops in Iraq, North Korea is sending its nuclear stuff around the world. Iran is stronger than ever. And the world hates us. Hates us. I should state about Iran, to be clear. It's this particular theocratic government that's stronger than ever. My hope is that with an Obama presidency, Iran can escape that government. But the world does hate us. And who can blame them? Who can blame them? I remember in 04, after that powerful defeat, and Kerry wasn't my first choice either. I actually voted for Wesley Clark in the primary, but I remember how awful that felt. And I remember the website. I can't even remember its name right now. But it's the one where Americans, hundreds of thousands of us, put up a we're sorry sign to the world. We're sorry. We didn't vote for him. Please don't hate us. And I haven't even gotten to the economy yet. Each and every year, Americans in the bottom 90%, which is to say 90% of us, losing their way, losing money, health care rising, costs rising, a lot of people just being denied health care at all, Pell Grants smaller, harder for kids to be able to afford to go to college, families struggling, and a bunch of super rich people at the top making money hand over fist at places like Halliburton and Exxon and Mobil. The religious right rearing its ugly head. Mega churches growing as people fall into despair. Damn, today was going to be the optimistic day. And it should be. Because I really see this as changing. It's going to be hard for me to be on the air on election night. I'll probably be crying. But I want us to remember this moment. I want us to remember this moment of despair. If we can remember the calm before the storm, we can remember the storm before the calm. Barack Obama is not going to have an easy task. It's not all going to get well on January 21st, 2009. We'll probably be in the second greatest depression in American history. I know we'll have the largest debt in American history. Our troops will still be in Iraq. The world's madmen won't go away. But finally we'll have someone in charge who... Well, he's one of us. Not one of us, oh, he's black. Not one of us, oh, he's young. Not one of us, oh, he's smart. One of us who cares about our country. I find it incredibly ironic that John McCain's slogan is country first. Country first. When has John McCain put his country first? I guess in, you know, Vietnam. I mean, I wonder if his daddy was an admiral. He wasn't embarrassed. Who knows? I'm not going to pick on what he did in Vietnam. But I'll tell you this, since he came back, he hasn't really put his country first. This wasn't going to be a trash McCain show. I'm going to avoid this. I am. I've done other shows on that. I want to talk about Obama. Obama is a man who's putting his country first. And not just because he didn't take a lucrative job on Wall Street. Obama cares about the underdog. Strange for the elitist that people claim him to be. But for all the Palin, McCain, Joe the plumber, and Tito the builder, and Bob the mechanic, all of those people really will be better off in an Obama presidency. They may not know it yet. But they will. See, I don't think that it'll all be healed overnight, but I do think we're going to get things better incrementally. And I know that there will be people complaining on all sides, sniping on all sides. Barack Obama, he may get 100 days, and then the criticisms will begin. On the right, they'll be free from the burden of governing. If, as I hope, we get a strong majority in both houses of Congress, if, as I pray, we get 60 in the Senate, which we may not. We may only get 59. Y'all are going to have to help me on this. We need 60. The Republicans are going to say, all right, it's your country. It's your fault. It's kind of like the guy that comes into your house drunk, and knocks over your priceless vase. It's now in 1,000 pieces on the floor. And you say, just get out! Get out of my house! And he does. Well, first he trips on the extension cord and the TV crashes on the ground. But as he's leaving, he says, okay, well, it's your mess. You deal with it. And it's a mess. And it's what the Republicans have done to our country. It is a mess. So 3 months into an Obama presidency and a Democratic Congress, please give the guy a chance. Rush Limbaugh will have ratings like he hasn't had in a long time. People will be looking for a reason to complain. And yes, people on the left are going to be complaining as well. Why hasn't Obama brought all our troops back from Iraq yet? Well, he said it would take 16 months. Why hasn't he done it in three? Why don't we have universal health care yet? Well, he said he would, you know, have this employer-based program that we'd get there. Well, where's single payer? I want it now. Why don't we have, why haven't we ended dependence on oil? Now, I support all those goals. But we are in a deep, 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 deep hole, and I really hope that we remember this moment, the storm before the calm. Before 6 months from now, we're all harping on Obama. Give the guy a break. Give him a chance. We're in a very, very deep hole. But I'll tell you this. I've been thinking a lot about President Obama. President Obama will be someone that Americans could hold their head up high when they talk about. Well, he won't be perfect. He'll make mistakes. I'll condemn him myself. You'll hear it. That condemn's too strong. Let's just say criticize. No politician will do 100% of what I want done except me, and even then, I change my mind. I'm sure you feel the same way. But President Obama will be someone about whom, when we go abroad, or we go to Canada, or heck, we just have a person from Europe or Asia or Africa or Australia or South America or Mexico talking with us in our country about our president, we can say, see, America's not all bad. In fact, in some ways, it's really good. It will increase, I think, American patriotism, and it should. Because for all the damage George W. Bush did, we've got a lot to be proud of. I've never seen an African-American or a... American's the wrong word. I've never seen an African or a Muslim be elected in any European country. Or any person of color. Wonder why that is. It'd be nice for once, finally, to have America lead the world in something like that. You know, we used to be a light unto the nations. We used to be a country that the whole world would look up to. In Tiananmen Square, before those Chinese students were mowed down to the ground, they raised the Statue of Liberty. God knows they wouldn't do that today. And with that, love is too strong a word. Let's say end of dislike. With that respect that I expect the world to have for America under President Obama, will actually come benefits. It'll be easier to get those trade treaties we want. It'll be easier to work with other countries on global warming. It'll be easier to get other countries to join with us against some of these rogue nations that I still fear. It'll be easier to get our troops out of Iraq. We won't agree all the time. But I want everyone, each and every one of you, to think of this moment, to remember this moment. If you ignore all the rest of my shows, remember this one. Because the event hasn't happened yet. We're 5 days away. And I want to ask each and every one of you to be a part. Now, all of you know what you can do. Some of you live in swing states like me, and you can go out and work hard and canvass and help people vote. Some of you can go on blogs and encourage people to vote. Some of you can call your friends. All of you can call your friends and colleagues and family and those who may be undecided and those who may be too lazy to vote. Because this election is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. And I want you to own it. I want you to own it. I don't want you to be like I was in 1994, even though I expect to win this one. I want you to be able to say to your kids and to your grandkids, I was there. I saw Barack Obama when he was running for president. I contributed $5 to the Obama campaign. Now, he doesn't need your money anymore, so give it to another candidate. Give it to one of the senatorial candidates. I wore an Obama button. I called. This is more important. I called. I emailed everyone I knew. I was part of the change. You still have time. The election is 5 days away. We are about to go from the worst president in my lifetime to one who has every possibility of being the best. And I'm looking forward to it. And now I'll take that break. The toll-free number is 877-4 head on. 877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Seton Notes. I'm Tony Seton. No one has seen anything like it, and I'm not talking about the stock market. Rather, the campaign trail this year. Let's start with Sarah Palin's shopping spree. It was a dumb marketing move, of course, but dumber still was Palin not saying she'd pay for the clothes herself. Then after the election, she could have auctioned them off to starry-eyed Republicans who would have paid her three times their cost. Several dozen people who had been hired to make phone calls for the McCain campaign refused to read some of the contorted lies they were given to spout. Putting principle before pocketbook, they walked off the job. It's been driving me nuts watching the Reuters C-SPAN Zogby Daily tracking poll, which seems to indicate the race is tightening up, when state polls are showing formerly sure Republican states shifting to purple and blue. And other national polls are showing twice the margin. Another clue is a stunning difference in the crowds in New Mexico when John McCain drew 1,000 people. Barack Obama drew 45,000. The next day in Colorado, McCain attracted 3,000, while Obama pulled in over 100,000. The conservative Tilting Politico has a report on press bias in the campaign. They say it really doesn't exist. They note that most reporters, despite their own personal predilections, bend over backwards to be fair in their coverage. When two skinheads were arrested for plotting to assassinate Obama, as just one aspect of a proposed trail of horror that included killing 88 non-whites and beheading 14 of them, you had to wonder at the brilliance of the plotters. Authorities are reporting that the skinheads' plans were, quote, riddled with blunders. And that's Seton Notes. For more, go to SetonNotes.com. I'm Tony Seton.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
President Obama. President Barack Obama. President Barack Obama today said there's going to be a tough time, but we're making good progress. President Barack Obama today signed enactment of a health care plan to allow every American to have health care. President Barack Obama today enacted legislation to give tax cuts to the middle class. President Obama's work on the environment has led to a dramatic reduction in greenhouse gases. President Obama's foreign policy has talked down the dictators. We've reached an agreement. President Obama, in his press conference today, said the long national nightmare is over. President Obama's cabinet secretaries, unlike the former presidents, have not shied away from talking to members of Congress, from testifying, from even providing documents. Said Obama, "I'll give Henry Waxman all he needs because he's a good man and I know he's looking out for this country's best interest. And if we have made a mistake, I know that Congressman Waxman will find that mistake even more than my own people will, and we'll get it out and we'll fix it." Supreme Court Justice Hillary Clinton joined the bench following retiring Justice John Paul Stevens, who at age 88 got a well-needed rest, and announced proudly that she was not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. She'd thought about it, unlike Clarence Thomas, and no, she thought it was a good decision. On Election Day, the voters in California, a little too narrowly, but still sufficiently, defeated the amendment to take away gay civil rights. Interestingly, many of the African Americans that came out to vote for Barack Obama surprisingly also voted for gay civil rights. In an incredible nail biter in Georgia, the recount is in. Jim Martin has beat Saxby Chambliss, the man who took Vietnam veteran Max Cleland, who lost three arms serving his country in Vietnam, and compared him to Osama bin Laden, has been defeated today. Obama is credited for getting out the African-American vote sufficient to defeat him. And now, with the squeaker by Al Franken, we have 60 votes. Actually, we have 61. Looks like Mitch McConnell has lost, too. That tobacco whore. Well, now Lieberman's vote won't be necessary to have 60 on the war in Iraq. We'll give him a subcommittee chairmanship rather than a committee chairmanship, because he still votes with us on domestic issues, but he's not going to be in control anymore. Russ Feingold surprised everyone by giving up his Senate seat to become Attorney General of the United States. The Democratic governor will appoint a new senator in his place to assure the 60-vote filibuster. To assure the 60 votes that the filibuster won't be able to stop. Sarah Palin looks to be the new candidate in 2012. It appears that now all the intellectuals and elite have left the Republican Party. She's left with the rump that is the theocrats and is seen as a shoo-in over her next closest candidate, Mitt Romney. The Obama-Palin race in 2012 looks to be one where he may well get a 50-state victory. Okay, that's pushing it. I'm giving you all this optimistic talk not to make you complacent. But to let you know there is some hope for the future. You know, hope is not just one of those catchphrases that, politician, hope, change. I really do hope for a better future. And I don't see it as out of the question. I am the eternal optimist. And you can help make this happen. Like I said, at this point, help elect Democrats to Congress, if you will. You know, Obama's probably okay, but your local member of Congress, we need every vote we can get. Wouldn't it be nice to have a progressive majority? Not just a Democratic majority, but a progressive one. And won't it be amazing when all these policies that, after all, return us to the Clinton tax rates and tax the super rich a little bit more, and it turns out that not only do middle class and poor people do better, but just like under Bill Clinton, the rich do better too. They always do. Middle class are the engines of the economy, and when they buy more, there's more demand, and lo and behold, the rich do just fine. I don't want to be Pollyanna here. There will be difficulties. There are difficulties. We're in extreme difficulties now. I think we're going to be in recession for many, many months in 2009. Maybe even depression. But it's neat that a guy that used to go to the same gym as my cousin in Chicago, who he played basketball with, is about to become president of the United States. If you and I do the work we need to do. Not just because he knows the guy. It's not about that. I don't know him. I've never met Obama. I mean, I was privileged to be in Denver when he gave his speech. But, you know, I've never met the man. I've met Hillary Clinton. But the point is that he is one of us. Not one of us in the silly, superficial way that Sarah Palin, oh, you're a hockey mom. You must be voting for Sarah. Oh, no. When I say he's one of us, I mean he is philosophically one of us. When I say us, I mean everyone listening to my voice right now. You may not agree with all he does as president. I won't agree with all he does as president, but he cares about the country, all of us. Not just those that are doing just fine, thank you. And I it's hard to think when since Franklin Delano Roosevelt we've had a president like that. And I don't mean to knock them all. I mean, Clinton did, you know, he was, Clinton cared too. Clinton did not have the majorities in Congress that we can pull off. This is not just a pitch for Obama. It's a pitch for a Democratic Congress. And I know that there are some nasty Democrats out there. I know that. I know that. But if we have enough of the good ones, we don't have to worry about the nasty ones. The nasty ones will fall in line. And if they don't, that's what primaries are for. But don't forget the storm before the calm. Please. Please, when you're about to condemn the president or the Congress, remember what we've lived through. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't criticize. Criticize all you want. But don't be quick to condemn. There is a difference. It's weird thinking about President Obama. Just saying it. President Obama. It still sounds, I gotta say, a little weird. I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it. Vice President Joe Biden today went to the Middle East and sat man to man and got the treaty signed. I still like Attorney General Feingold. How do we get that to happen? It's weird, Hope. It makes you feel... I get goosebumps when I think about this election. Because I think elections are scary things. Even good ones. It's a rush, right? It's a release. It's going up on that roller coaster and hoping that you work out, you know, you come out just fine at the end. Maybe a mountain climber is a better example. I once went skydiving. Yeah, I did. Out in California. I was young, foolish. Well, obviously the parachute opened. I wouldn't be here talking to you, so don't worry. I didn't tell my mom till it was over. Bad boy, bad son, bad. But, of course, when you skydive, it's about 45 seconds of sheer terror. I'm not going to lie. Oh, it was cool. You know, no, I was terrified. I admit it. No shame there. Then the parachute opens and tremendous release. Talk about endorphins. Now, we still hadn't hit the ground yet, but once the parachute goes up, even though you're a mile above the earth, you're thinking, all right, it'll be okay. Right now, 5 days before the election, I feel like I did 5 minutes before pulling that ripcord. Thinking the parachute would open... Heck, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think the parachute would open. I think the parachute's going to open. I think Obama's going to be our next president. But I'm still 5 seconds away. We're still 5 days away. Now, I know professionals pack that parachute, and they're very, very good, and I watch them do it. But the ripcord's in my hands. It's in your hands, too. I need your help. I need you to pull the cord. And pulling the cord does not just mean voting. That's the minimum. If you don't vote, you might as well plunge the earth right now. It doesn't just mean doing your damnedest between now and Election Day, and there's only 5 days more. I don't ask of you much. Doing what you can, particularly in the battleground states or you have close congressional or Senate elections, to get out the vote, to get progressives elected. I also need your help on behalf of the Head On Radio Network, which I also don't give a pitch for often. Bob Kincaid needs your help. He asks for it. He doesn't like asking for it. He needs your help. Agnes Kincaid needs your help. I need your help. Guy James needs your help. John Fox needs your help. One of the reasons why talk radio has been mostly right-wing conservative is because systemically it's very easy for big corporations to support a government that gives money to big corporations. It's very easy for extremely rich people to support a government that supports extremely rich people. Liberal internet talk radio is like a miracle. And yet, Obama performed that miracle. You know, John McCain complains all the time, oh my God, Barack Obama didn't take public financing. He's outspending us 2 to 3 to 1. And yet, John McCain's average gift is in the hundreds, and Obama's is about $25. It's not that Obama has 2 or 3 times the money that McCain does. I mean, he does. It's that he's got 1,000 times the amount of support. Average, ordinary Americans doing what they can, chipping in $5, if that's all they can chip in. Chipping in their time, going to the get out the vote place. Did you know if you contact the Obama campaign, I don't care if you live in Vermont, the bluest state in the United States, or Rhode Island or Massachusetts or New York, they'll give you a list of people to call. You can call anyone you want. An aunt of mine in very red Tennessee is calling Jewish voters in Florida because that's the people that she feels she can most convince. If you want to call Latinos in New Mexico, African Americans in Georgia, if you want to call older people, younger people, young men, young women, Asians, whatever group you feel you can best talk to, plumbers, lawyers, mechanics. So it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to leave your home. You don't have to contribute a dime. But you do have to contribute your time. We need to be a part of this cause together. And I think you will feel better knowing that you were part of the Obama revolution. And no, it's not going to be a socialist revolution, but it will be a fairer one. It'll be an America that, let's face it, we go back to, I don't know, following the law for a change. Would I like to see all the criminals of the Bush administration prosecuted? You betcha, every single one of them. But our first priority has got to be to the American people. Because they're hurting right now. They're hurting badly. Some of it we see. Some of it we don't. Some of it we know about in our own neighborhoods. Some of it we've just heard about. And I'd also like to see progressive radio succeed. The Horn needs your help. I know it's a terrible economy, but if you can give it a few bucks so it lasts a bit longer, they could use it. You know, it's astonishing to me all the money that some liberal websites are making. Maybe I'm a lousy marketer. I admit it. I can't sell anything. All I can sell is ideas, which I think I'm pretty good at. I know Bob Kincaid's good at it. Guy James, too. But apparently we can't sell ourselves very well. So I need your help for that, too. If you like The Inside Scoop, please tell your friends. I never say this kind of stuff on the air. You know that. You regular listeners know that. I need your help. If you like The Horn, tell your friends. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it, though they could use your money, too. When's the last time you sent an email out to all 150 probably 500 people on your email list saying, have you checked this out? Because we are the party of ideas, even if financially every single roadblock is set up in our path. So yeah, I need your help. I need you to let people know The Inside Scoop exists. You can let them know that The Horn exists. You can let them know that my website, RadioInsideScoop.com, exists. You can ask people to listen in, to call in, to comment on the blog, to be a part. And I personally would love it if each and every one of you would call three of your local radio stations. God, that would help me so much. I don't need your money. I just need you to call your local program director and say, damn it, will you hear this guy? You can play today's show if you want. Give me a chance. You know, all the people on CNN and, you know, Anderson Cooper is the son of Gloria Vanderbilt, and everyone seems to know everybody, right? It's tough, this business. And I'll tell you this, though. I'm determined to make a difference in my country. I will never be apolitical again. You can make a lot more money being apolitical, that's for sure. Heck, you can make a lot more money in the Republican Party. If you want to go and be a hack for the Republicans, they'll pay you a fortune. It's never been about money for me. It's always been about ideas, and that's why I'm looking forward to the next president of the United States. Barack Hussein Obama. Believe it or not. Wow. Talk about a change. Talk about a change. And I hope this sense of hope never leaves me, even when I'm going to complain about some things he does. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. I do appreciate your time and attention. Next up, your hillbilly elitist, Bob Sienkiewicz.